All parents want their kids to succeed, and we try to give them all the best advice to try to get them there. Now, Mark, your kids are still really young, but how do you try to keep them busy? Enrolled in camp, sports?
Get them running around as much as possible so they go to bed nice and early. That is the secret.
Doesn't that tire you out a lot, though?
Well, yes, but I have a little more stamina than they do, at least in this sense.
Well, one leading happiness researcher, yes, that's really what she does, says that's not always the best approach.
And the show's Lauren Gilger joins us now with some more on all the parenting mistakes we might be making. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, guys. So this researcher, Emma Sabala, is the author of The Happiness Track, and she's a psychologist at Stanford and Yale. And she says it's not that parents are all making huge mistakes all the time. It's just that a lot of the conventional wisdom about how to teach your children to succeed is kind of misguided, and it comes at a price.
For example, we tell them to always focus on the future and keep their eyes on the prize, on whatever it is that they're trying to achieve. And yet that's also a great way to invoke anxiety and stress, which is basically when your mind is trapped in the future. And it's really hard to stay focused in that state. So research shows our mind already wanders 50% of the time. And so what you really want for your child is for them to be able to be present. And when they're present, they have better attention, memory, they make better decisions, they're more emotionally intelligent, they're more productive, but also taking care of their happiness. So balancing their stress levels so that they're actually happy in life. Happiness makes you 12% more productive. Mm-hmm. And this is really what we want for our kids. And we want them to be happy and successful. The two go hand in hand.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about that you cover in this.
Yes.
So my parents always say that their best approach to parenting and to keeping us out of trouble when we were kids was to always kind of keep us busy. We were in soccer. We were at swim practice. We were doing plays, whatever it may be. Is that the wrong approach?
Well, it's interesting. There's, of course, something to be said for exposing your kids to lots of wonderful opportunities. But the other thing is that if you are constantly busy, you're actually stopping your children from accessing their innate creativity. Now, CEOs across industries and countries value as the number one most important trait in incoming employees, creativity, innovation. That's what they value. Kids are the most creative individuals in our society. I mean, just look, they're creating, you know, castles in the air. They have an incredible imagination. And yet, we're seeing a creativity crisis. So the last couple of decades have seen huge crashes in creativity levels in kids in schools. What is going on? So for one, we know that creativity happens when we're not busy, when we're not stressed, when we're not doing anything. That's why, you know, adults like to take a shower in order to kind of come up with a novel concept, or, you know, on your commute or on your walk, all of a sudden, boom, you have an insight into how you're going to solve that problem you've been sweating over. So by allowing our kids to have time to do nothing, we're allowing them to access that innovative creativity that is not just important for their happiness, well-being as kids, but also for their potential as adults.
So I want to talk a little bit about learning to fail. I mean, we obviously live in this success-oriented culture. As a parent, you obviously don't want to see your child fail. So how do you allow them to do that?
Well, we all fail. And an important thing to teach our children is that we do fail. And the most important thing to teach them is how to be most resilient so that they can learn from their mistakes, which is ideally what a mistake does. A researcher at Stanford University has created an amazing body of work looking at what is it that determines resilience in the face of failure. And she has found that when students or children or adults think that they are a certain way, then for example, they think I'm a math person or I'm a people person or I'm an artist. If they then fail at that or at something else, then they're more likely to think, well, I guess I'm not X, Y, Z.
Right.
And that's just not in line with the research. I mean, our brains are made to develop, to learn. You can learn the piano at 80 years old. You can learn tango, you know, at whatever age. We are built to learn. So if children understand that, then they start to have a whole different attitude in terms of their failures and mistakes. They start to realize that, okay, I made a mistake or I failed. What can I learn from this and how can I move on? So that is building resilience in a child.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think parents are sort of putting an inordinate amount of pressure on themselves to make sure that their children are not only happy, but getting straight A's and involved in sports and on a winning team, et cetera?
Absolutely. I think parents are driven by fear in a certain respect, right? As parents, we want our children to do well and to succeed and to survive and thrive. But one thing we really need to keep remembering is that we model what our children will learn. More than trying to teach them, live it. Live your values, live your self-care, live your work-life balance, do what it takes to have a peaceful home, take care of your emotions, your anger, your anxiety, and so forth, and show them how to take care of theirs. That's how you create children that are emotionally intelligent, that are values-driven, and that are very well-rounded.
Yeah. And childhood goes by so quickly. Isn't the best advice, though, to just kind of let your kids be kids?
Absolutely. And in Europe, kids don't even learn to read until they're seven sometimes, in Germany and other countries. And they do just as well as everyone else, but they're leaving a lot more room for play. And if you look at a child naturally plays. That is what a child does. They just want to play. And they learn so much just by playing. I have a 2.5-year-old. We haven't been very ambitious with him at all because I'm really trying to live what I'm talking here. Mm-hmm. And yet he knows the whole alphabet. He's talking. And how come? Just because his father reads him Thomas the Train, because he's obsessed with Thomas the Train. But as a consequence, he knows the full vocabulary associated to trains, words I don't even know. And it's just when they play, they love what they're doing. And when they love what they're doing, they just naturally absorb it and learn.
Right.
So there's so much to be said for play. We really need to make more time for that.
All right. Emma Seppala is the author of The Happiness Track. Emma, thanks so much for joining us to give us a little insight on happiness.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
And you're listening to the show.